Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear argument from petitioners in Galarsik v. Inland.
May it please the court that Janet Sheehan will present argument for the petitioners. Petitioners have served 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Please, the court. We are here today on a case of significant importance to both the people of the state of Texas and Texas jurisprudence. The lower court in this particular case, in reaching its opinion, has rejected the well-established rules of construction regarding restrictive covenants as enunciated by this court as recently as in the Wilmoth-Wilcox case. If left unreversed, the lower court's opinion will cause confusion, not certainty, with regard to deed interpretation and will lead to improper limitation on a property owner's right to free and unrestricted use of the land. The facts in this case are quite simple. Back in the spring of 1992, a major hailstorm devastated North Texas, destroying thousands, if not tens of thousands, of homes and roofs. The Pilarczyks lost their roof because of that particular hailstorm. They decided not to go back to the wood shingle roof because of the safety hazards, not only themselves, but their neighbors and their neighborhoods. They therefore turned to their restrictive covenants to determine what roof types were available to them. They saw two provisions. Article 1, paragraph 9 stated that roofs composition of shingle types would not be permitted and that all roofs would be made of wood shingles unless alternate roofing materials were approved by the Architectural Control Committee, a committee created within the document we're seeking. Article 2, paragraph 1 more particularly stated that the Architectural Control Committee shall have the right to waive any restrictions pertaining to roof types. During this same period of time, Debbie Pilarczyk attended a homeowners meeting with Mr. Jones, who was in attendance, being one of their neighbors, at which the whole issue of composition roofs came up. Mr. Jones espoused that, in his belief, there were only two ways a homeowner could get a composition roof on their house. First, to amend the restrictive covenants to provide the composition roofs. Or alternative two, to petition the Architectural Control Committee for a waiver and thereby approval of composition roofs. It is this second method that the Pilarczyks chose to follow. In compliance with Article 2 of the Restrictive Covenants, they sent out a letter in September 82 to the members of the Architectural Control Committee at the addresses provided and respectfully requested the right to use a timberline or equivalent composition roof type material, a very specific type of composition roof.
Along with that request, that you also submit a plat specifications or plot plan?
Your Honor, it is our interpretation, and I think when you apply the proper construction to this particular document, that in requesting the type of roof, that by stating the timberline or equivalent composition roof type, that was the specification of the type of roof they were seeking to have put on their house.
There's only one type of composition roof?
No, the timberline or equivalent is, in a sense, a characteristic of a composition roof. And that is what they requested of the Architectural Control Committee. Having received no response in the 30 days, they followed the procedure under Article 2, Paragraph 2, that if you receive...
They received no response, but it's undisputed that all the letters came back to them.
No, Your Honor, that's the point I was going to make. The evidence is to the contrary. The September 1982 letter was never returned. The evidence is clear on that. Appellees is mistaken and has misled this court by suggesting that. What happens is later on, and we'll get to a second letter of sin after the lawsuit, and that letter was returned to them.
What does the evidence show about the state of the Pilarczyk's knowledge about the Architectural Control Committee being all but defunct?
Your Honor, first of all, there was no evidence that this Architectural Control Committee was defunct.
Well, there were only three members remaining, weren't there?
Correct, Your Honor. There were.
How many were originally on the Architectural Control Committee?
Originally, Your Honor, there were five. The Pilarczyks had no knowledge as to who these five individuals were, what the status was. Therefore, they submitted their request in accordance with the restrictive covenant requirement of sending the letter to the five at the address as shown. And as I stated, received no response.
Was it a single address or five different addresses?
Five different addresses.
And they didn't get any of the first letters back?
No, Your Honor. None of the five came back.
Does it make any difference if the approval or disapproval wasn't in writing?
This first presumption, the 30-day under Article 2, Paragraph 2, is a presumption if you have no response, that you have approved.
But the first sentence said that the approval or disapproval as required by this covenant shall be in writing.
Correct, Your Honor.
You're saying that if they don't respond, that even though that's not in, I mean, there's no writing, obviously, if they don't respond, but that still is consistent with the requirement of writing?
Your Honor, if you proceed on into Article 2 at the very bottom, it says that after you have sent your request, if you fail to receive a response, if no suit to enjoin the construction has been commenced prior to completion, approval will not be required, and the restrictive covenant herein contained shall be deemed to have been fully complied with. It was based on that reading that they proceeded with the construction. They ordered, based on that presumption, the composition roof material and had it delivered into where it sat for 10 days before the project ever was undertaken.
If in fact the committee had not acted in a while, are there any provisions for reenacting or reconstituting the committee or naming new members to the committee?
The procedures are emphatic that these are the five members, that if in the event of death or resignation, the additional members may appoint more members. But there is nothing contained herein that says that the remaining members can no longer act, or that the fact that they have to meet every year. There is no requirements of how often they have to meet. So there is nothing contained within the strict reading of the document that provides that type of information.
And Mr. Shan, I've got a couple questions about the record that I'm not clear about. The Court of Appeals says that of all the homeowners whose roofs were damaged by the hail storm, the Plarsics are the only ones who failed to comply with the covenant. Now, is that a correct statement by the CA?
That is an incorrect statement. For
What does the summary judgment record in this case show? What does the record in this case for the court show as to who complied and who didn't comply with the covenants?
What the record shows is that the Plarsics are the only one that ever obtained approval for an alternate roofing material.
No, that's not my question.
I'm sorry, then.
The CA says that all of the homeowners whose roofs were damaged complied with the covenants except for Plarsic. Now, what you said is the Plarsics got a waiver. I'm not talking about waiver. But for that waiver, were the Plarsics the only homeowners who did not comply with the roofing covenant?
The question is, Your Honor, are the Plarsics the only one that put a composition roof on their house? There was one other house in the addition that had a composition roof.
That wasn't my question.
Okay, because
the homeowners that had the roofs damaged by the hailstorm, did all of them comply with the covenants except for the Plarsics?
No. What I said, Your Honor, is when you say comply, the procedure set out in
Article... Let me read it to you. It
said,
all the Waterwood Estates residents who suffered roof damage in the hailstorm of 92 all complied with the subject covenants with the exception of the appellants, referring to the Plarsics. Is that a true... I mean, is that a correct statement?
I can only assume what Justice Parr was writing there is that the Plarsics were the only ones that put a composition roof on their house.
Okay. Then the Court of Appeals says, citing to our case, Cowling v. Colligan, that there are two methods, assuming there's not a waiver. And I'm not talking about the Architectural Control Committee allows the waiver. I'm talking about two conditions that can exist for the ignoring of a covenant in the deed, restrictive covenant in the deed. And one of those being that the homeowners have acquiesced to substantial violations of this. And I assume that's what the CA was referring to. There was hailstorm, damaged a lot of roofs, a lot of people made the repairs, everybody but the Plarsics complied with the covenants. And then there's a second part, though, that there's such a change in the conditions in the restricted area or area surrounding it that compliance with the covenant no longer secures a substantial degree of the benefits sought to be realized by the covenant. Now, it's this second section I want to talk about. Do you have there's a statute now that prohibits the use of wood shingles.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So clearly the covenant can no longer be complied with, correct?
That is correct.
So the thing is that this covenant does permit alternative roofing. Now, I'm assuming that these homeowners put on this alternative roofing, didn't they?
In the evidence, it shows that only 10% of the houses in the subdivision have wood roofs. The balance are made up of all other types of roofing material.
So there are other roofing materials other than composition that these homeowners repaired their roofs with at the time the Pilar 6 used composition?
Others already had types of roofs, some repaired, some haven't repaired, awaiting the outcome of this case. And so that is correct, Your Honor, if that's what you're asking.
So you're, okay, I guess that's the answer to my question, where the CA says that all the Waterwood Estates residents who suffered roof damage complied with subject covenants, you're saying is not correct because the summary judgment record demonstrates that the homeowners have not repaired their roofs or have repaired their roofs.
Your Honor, what I'm saying is that the homeowners who have used alternate roofing material have not obtained approval for those alternate roofing materials from the Architectural Control Committee, and therefore they have violated the restrictive covenant likewise. That restrictive covenant has been, in essence, ignored over the several past years because no one except the Plarsics have contacted the Architectural Control Committee and requested approval for a particular type of roof other than the wood roof.
I think you've got my question.
Well,
yes.
Let me clear something
yes,
up.
Your Honor.
But only your clients have used composition type roof.
There are two other houses in the subdivision with composition roofs. One, arguably, is grandfathered in. The other is put on. No one ever sued them, and
so,
they completed that.
And then under the clause of the covenants, if nobody complains, you know, there's presumed to have complied.
Correct, Your Honor.
What are the other roofs made of?
There are slate, there are tile roofs out there. These are particular heavy, as you know, for structure evidence. Presented in the summary judgment is these types of roofs were not available to the Plarsics because of the pitch of their roof. It was too heavy and structurally unsound. So what happens is if the Plarsics are in a position of putting a wood roof on or a composition roof on.
Or aluminum.
Or an aluminum roof. And as we have seen, the aluminum roofs are now starting to have the same concern of fire hazards that the wood roofs are having. Because they build up heat inside the attic and many of them are put on top of wood roofs. And it's for those reasons that the Plarsics went and obtained the approval from the Architectural Control Committee.
When you say obtained, this was not in writing.
Your Honor, that's I think where the confusion is. It was, you had two steps. They had the presumption because nobody responded. They were sued. They therefore contacted the ACC trying to find out what's going on. They spoke to Frank Richards of the Architectural Control Committee. He came out to their house. He inspected the house. He inspected the roof. He obtained additional specifications from them as to what this roofing material was. He examined the neighborhood and saw that the neighborhood was only 10% wood roof and that basically the roof restrictions had been ignored over the past years. He met with the balance of the Architects Control Committee, and they gave them written approval at that time, which is in the record. They did get the written approval for the composition roof they had requested back in September of 1992 when they wrote and asked specifically for a timberline or light composition roof.
Is that approval, can you cite me the record that to look for me to look at what the approval is?
I can get
about.
That to you real quick, Your Honor. It is in the record. It was at that point, after the Plarsics had done everything set out in the procedures and had the written approval from the Architects Control Committee that Mr. Jones and his neighbors...
But this is at the time they would have been sued.
They had already been sued. That's correct, Your Honor. That at this point in time, they had complied...
They were already on notice that the Homeowners Association was against changing the cover.
That's a misnomer. The misnomer there was no knowledge that the Homeowner Association was against the change. Post the lawsuit, move up to, they've been sued, they have gotten written approval from the Architectural Control Committee. At that point, there was a move made in the neighborhood to also get an amendment Of the parties contacted, the vast majority wanted the amendment. However, at that same time, Mr. Jones sent out a letter to everyone, which was, in our estimation, as the record shows, somewhat of an intimidating letter, and everybody decided at that point they were not going to proceed. So our client had gotten the written approval, had gone to the point of trying to get the amendments, but then everybody backed off, no, in light of the letter, I'm not going to do that. So that's where we were.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May I please report that Mr. Kelly Jones will be arguing to respond.
May it please the court. It's my privilege to represent the 12 homeowners from Waterwood Estates Edition in Arlington who were the original plaintiffs in this cause of action and now come to you as the respondents. This is not a wood roof case. This case involves an outright prohibition against composition shingles contained within a neighborhood's deed restrictions.
Isn't it the concern of the restrictive covenants basically to maintain the value of
Absolutely,
the homes in the
Your Honor.
Neighborhood?
Absolutely, and there's uncontradicted testimony at the injunction hearing by a certified appraiser that composition roofs do diminish a home's value.
Isn't it also part of the record, though, that the Grand Manor shingle roof, the composition material that the Plarsics were going to put on their home was, in fact, more expensive than wood or aluminum roof?
There is that allegation, yes, in the record.
How do you reconcile those two?
Well, I think that it's quite clear that the prohibition against composition shingles is a very objective standard. I think it would be an unfortunate mistake to start allowing subjective standards on if a composition roof is fine if it's expensive or if it has a lifetime warranty, as opposed to just the outright prohibition which appears in the covenants. It's an objective standard, no composition roof.
Is it your position that the Architectural Control Committee cannot waive that provision?
Yes, sir, it is.
What is your response to the numerous amicus briefs that said that's bad policy, bad law? I mean, just
I'd be happy to address that. And in fact, I think this court has already addressed that in the Wilmoth case. In the Wilmoth case, this would be from the Sturgio's case, which was a decision out of Dallas written by Chief Justice Guittard, enforcing and affirming a mandatory injunction by then-Judge Hecht removing a composition roof. In Sturgios, the deed restriction was no composition roof shall be allowed on any dwelling. The homeowners put on a composition roof, and just like the petitioners, they argued that it was superior to wood from the point of safety. They recognized aluminum and tile as alternatives, but admitted that those options would be more expensive and would require changes to their substructure. Like the amicus curiae, the infringing homeowners argued that the prohibition against composition shingles was violative of public policy, as the practical effect was to require them to put on the wood, which became void by the property code section voiding the requirement of wood shingle roof. Again, in affirming then-Judge Hecht's permanent injunction removing the composition roof, Chief Justice Guittard wrote, "The fact that in this instance the material used may have been preferable to other materials for one reason or the other is not controlling so long as the restriction itself has a reasonable basis. The practical disadvantages of other alternatives to wood shingles for a structure of a particular design do not establish that the restriction in question is void."
That's the question, void versus the committee's authority to waive it, isn't it? That the issue in that case was not whether the architectural committee can waive the restrictive covenant.
That's correct. It was whether or not public policy required that the prohibition against composition be removed because of the practical effect of requiring wood. And we would point out that in this case, there are alternatives to wood materials that are uniformly used throughout the neighborhood. I think it's interesting that the trial court observed that the ACC is moot. The ACC is no longer operating, and that any authority which the ACC may have had to waive composition roofs applies only to new construction.
Why shouldn't that be chargeable then against those who seek to enforce the restrictive covenant? In other words, why isn't that a waiver in essence of the restrictive covenant if in fact the only way, the only procedure by which a waiver might be obtained is now essentially defunct?
Well, I was going to point out that the homeowners now control the neighborhood, not the ACC. The ACC is defunct and not met for some 13
years. May I ask
years.
You to interrupt me? Do I understand that you represent 12 separate homeowners, but that the Homeowners Association is not a plaintiff? Is that correct?
That is exactly correct, and that's a clarification that Mr. Sheehan clarified for, I believe, Justice Gonzalez. The Homeowners Association is an unincorporated entity, and it is not a party.
Is it the Homeowners Association that has the power to amend the deed restrictions?
No, sir. No, sir. The homeowners themselves have the power to amend the deed restrictions. And in fact, the petitioners themselves tried to change and were unsuccessful in doing so.
What I mean is, everybody that's a resident of the subdivision is a member of the homeowners? Is it mandatory?
No, it's not, Your Honor. It's not a strong homeowners association with required dues and lien rights and that type of thing. It's a very loose assembly that frankly hasn't been some time.
So it's not a mandatory homeowner?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Justice Cornyn, back to your questions. It's our point, and it was a tenet of Judge Kice's ruling in the trial court, that the ACC is moot, is dormant, is no longer operating. And it's our point that one of the points that I was going to make is that the responsibility for enforcing the covenants has now shifted to the homeowners.
What summary judgment evidence is there to support that conclusion?
That's just argument. It's just argument, contract interpretation.
So how would you go about getting a waiver? Is it impossible to get a waiver anymore?
I think it is. But at the homeowners meeting...
I guess you get all the homeowners to agree.
Well, that's exactly what we did.
But if you had one objection, you'd be out of luck.
We had a homeowners meeting, and everybody had to replace the roof. So what do we do as we replace the roof? What are the requirements? Well, this was post-1979, so the prohibition against wooden roofs was void. That still, however, left the clear prohibition against composition roofs. So it was the consensus, and everyone followed Justice Enoch, that you could put on virtually anything you wanted, tile, aluminum, hardy shake, tile that I already mentioned, except you could not put on composition roof. And that's what everybody did except for the petitioners. And at this meeting in May of 1992, Mrs. Pilarczyk, one of the petitioners, attended the meeting, and it was very clearly announced at that meeting that the deed restriction was there and would be enforced.
It's your position that the roof covenant and the Architectural Control Committee only applies to new construction?
Yes, it is, Justice Spector, and that's the very ruling that Judge Kice made in the trial court.
Could you then construe it to mean that once the house is constructed with a wood shingle roof, that any type of, which I've would last 20 or 30 years, that you could then put on any kind of roof you want?
Absolutely you can, except for the prohibited composition roof. And that's what the homeowners did. There's been a great argument about the testimony about what percentage of homes are what. But prior to the hailstorm...
But I thought that your argument is that only applies to new construction.
Well, the deed restrictions say that roofs of composition type shingles will not be permitted. And then it goes on to say that wood roofs will be required unless the ACC allows an alternate material.
But it seems to me your position is that only is applying to new construction.
That's exactly correct. If you built a house with wood shingles or compositions, wood shingles or tile or aluminum, and you needed to replace your roof, you don't need to get ACC approval for anything. You can put on any material that you wish, so long as it's not composition material.
Well, again, seems to me your argument is this only applies to new buildings, and you could replace a roof with whatever, including composition.
Well, that's not my argument. I've not made myself clear. The prohibition against composition roof stands on its own. And then you go into the requirement of a wood roof, which has now been voided. and which goes on to provide that an alternate roofing material can be allowed by the HDC. But then it goes on in section 2.1 that talks about it has the right, provided that the appraised value of the proposed house is not less than $50,000. So it's our interpretation and the trial court's ruling that any authority the HDC has to waive these deed restrictions applies only to proposed houses and not to replacement of existing houses.
You might read these together as only applying to new construction.
I'm not clear about your argument. You know, in response to my question, you said clearly the Architectural Control Committee does not have the power or the authority to waive this provision. But the next provision we have on the board here says that this committee shall have the right to waive any restriction, underline any.
Yes.
You know, in plain English, you know, how do you get around that?
You get around that by contract construction. There's three tenets of contract interpretation which would affirm the decision of the Court of Appeals. First is that specific and exact language is to be given precedent over general language. Specific. Roofs of composition type materials will not be allowed. General, any materials as it relates to type of roof or quality of masonry. Quality of masonry was in the preceding paragraph and required 75% stone. Type of roof, in our interpretation, is a required wood. More importantly, the second tenet is that none of the contract provisions shall be rendered meaningless. If you adopt the petitioner's position that it can waive any type of materials, that sentence is out. It means nothing. Put it back in. When the direct prohibition reappears, the only logical interpretation is that found by the Court of Appeals, which is that all roofs shall be made with the required wood unless an alternate material is allowed, so long as it's not the prohibited composition shingles. That's the only interpretation which does not render that sentence meaningless.
At what point in time did the ACC become moot?
The ACC quit meeting, I believe the testimony was in 1980, some 13 years prior to this time.
So they became moot as of the last meeting date?
They had not met since then.
But that doesn't matter. What is it that makes it become moot on the last meeting date? Does the whole world know that it's moot at that time because
said...
is it moot for another... I mean, 1 month later, a year later, or 10 years later? At what point in time does it become moot?
The interpretation, the deed restrictions are silent on that point. It doesn't say.
And so are we to just make up the concept that the ACC is now moot?
No.
Then what can we rely upon in the documents to determine that they are now moot?
You can rely upon contract interpretation.
Specifically?
Petitioner's position would allow two representatives from the developer's now defunct lender, remnants of an ACC that had not met for 13 years, to change after build-out of the neighborhood the very residential scheme agreed to and followed by the developer's no composition roofs as the homeowners begin the process of repairing their existing residences. We don't believe this is what the developers intended. If, as petitioners allege, they can waive this prohibition, then why can't they follow, why doesn't it also follow that they can waive the prohibition against frame houses or the prohibition against hotels or chain link fences or advertising signs, all which are expressly prohibited?
So what you're saying then is that there is nothing in the deed restrictions or in any other document anywhere that renders the ACC moot.
That is correct.
Okay. And if the ACC is not moot, then if we conclude that the ACC has the power and the ability to waive any restriction,
yes,
then you would agree that the waiver that was provided by the two members of the ACC constitutes a waiver?
Absolutely not.
Tell me why.
Absolutely not. First of all, as Justice Gonzalez, as I recall, noticed, the ACC, the waiver provision is very specific. Ordinary minds cannot differ as to the conclusions to be drawn from the evidence that petitioners did not follow these procedures. First, it is obvious from petitioner Frank Pilarczyk's own admissions that he did at the injunction hearing that he did not receive the ACC's approval in writing. Did you ever get any approval or disapproval in writing? No, sir. They now come in and claim that they received after the fact approval, that they received approval after they were enjoined.
And that was in writing?
That was in writing.
Let me ask you this. As best as I can determine, the other homeowners in the addition or subsection that added new roofs to their houses did not obtain any type of waiver.
That is correct.
And they did not follow the procedures. And because they did not follow the procedures that were required, why does that not render moot the procedures? Why, in essence, why have the procedures not been waived by the subsection, by their non-enforcement?
I really don't have an answer for your question.
Let me put it this way. You're familiar that if deed restrictions are not enforced, they can be waived.
Yes.
And the deed restrictions were not enforced when it came to the other homeowners.
Well, I believe that they were.
Well, tell me how the other homeowners followed the procedure in these deed restrictions.
They didn't need to. They didn't need to because the requirement of wood shingled roof was void, leaving only the prohibition against composition roof. There was no requirement that they obtain an alternate material. There was no requirement that they put on wood shingled roof, so there was no requirement to obtain approval for an alternate, leaving the prohibition against composition roofs. There's no requirement for that procedure.
When, I'm confused about the timing. This was at the temporary injunction hearing where Mr. Pilarczyk testified that he'd not gotten written approval.
Yes, it is.
And then in January of 92, he did get written approval.
That's their position, yes.
Is that in the record or not?
Yes, it is in the record.
Okay. And that was before summary judgment was entered?
Yes.
Was the written approval part of the summary judgment record?
I believe that it was. But Judge Kice, the specific decision of the trial court was that the waiver procedure did not matter because the ACC had no authority to waive it on an existing home.
If the ACC is not moot, how would a homeowner go about getting a waiver from the deed restrictions?
Well, they would have to do more than just send a letter, and because they didn't get a response, assume they had approval.
What more would they have to do other than getting a waiver from two of the three remaining members?
Well, Sturgio's case requires them to exercise due diligence before deliberately disregarding a restrictive covenant which they know about. I think it would be, this is just logic, I think it would be appropriate to go find these ACC members, obtain their approval in writing, give them the plot plans, the specifications that are required by the deed restrictions, which Mr. Pilarczyk, again, at the temporary injunction hearing, testified that he did not do.
But isn't it in the agreement or the deed restrictions that all of this information can be provided to the ACC orally? It's not required to be in writing in the presentation to the ACC.
That is exactly right. There's no requirement that it be provided in writing. But Mr. Pilarczyk himself testified that you have never submitted plat specifications or plot plans to the Architectural Control Committee, have you? No, I did not.
But again, that was a temporary injunction hearing.
Exactly.
And there's summary judgment evidence that indicates that after this temporary injunction hearing that he did contact the committee, did provide them information.
Gave them information about the Grand Manor shingle. Yes. We would like to point out to the court, in the few minutes that I have, the Wilmoth decision, which was decided by this court in 1987. Justice Wallace wrote that, "We note that covenants restricting the free use of land are not favored by the courts, but when they are confined to a lawful purpose and are clearly worded, they will be enforced." Confined to a lawful purpose, clearly worded. It can be no more unlawful to prohibit composition shingles than it can be to prohibit a hotel or a billboard or an RV from parking in the neighborhood, all of which are direct prohibitions. We certainly think that it can be no more clearly worded than roofs of composition-type shingles will not be permitted. Independent of the Texas Property Code Section 2002-003, which was adopted in 1987, I recall, requiring that restrictive covenants will be liberally construed, we think that even under the prior Wilmoth test, that these deed restrictions meet the requirements for approval.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. One is, why should it not be incumbent upon the homeowners in the subdivision to amend the deed restrictions to eliminate the ACC?
That opportunity is certainly there.
And without that being done, why would it not then be true that the ACC should continue in viability?
It may. But again, we don't think that's dispositive.
So it's your position, changing points here, it's your position that the September 3rd letters that went out did not comply with the type of information that is required under the deed restrictions?
Yes. And Mr. Pilarczyk has testified that he did not know whether or not those letters were ever received. And after he got sued, he sent out certified mail letters, all of which came back. And three of the addresses were the same, an address in Dallas. There was two other addresses. And then after those came back as addressee unknown, at that time, did he think that he better go find somebody? My time is up.
Any other questions?
Well, one last question. I thought it's your position that the Architectural Control Committee cannot waive the restriction against composition.
That's exactly correct.
So no matter what he would have done, that waiver would
exactly.
Not...
Exactly. Our position is it can't be waived at all.
He says that. Any other questions?
Your Honor, I think we seized on at the very end what this case comes down to, and it's the construction of the covenants and applying the Wilmoth test that this court set down back in 87, which very clearly said covenants restricting free and unrestricted use are not favored, that all doubts must be resolved in favor of the grantee, and that in resolving restricted covenants, we must construe them against the party seeking to enforce them.
What are we to do with the statute?
Your Honor, I believe that the cases in this court, in Wilmoth, in the Crispin case, in the Ash Creek case, in the Keener case, cases that preceded, all say the same thing. 202.03 is not in conflict with the Wilmoth line of cases of Texas jurisprudence for the past century. The liberal construction it is speaking of, if you look in the context, is in favor of the grantee. It is not saying liberally construed to make it more restrictive, but to make it less restrictive, which is what the lead case that my adversary has cited, the Candlelight case, said. It said, first, there is no conflict. It applied 2203 to find more power, not less power, for the association in question in that case. So applying that analysis to the case at hand, one would say the Architectural Control Committee has more power to waive the composition roof issue, not less power. So there is not a conflict. I think the Fort Worth court, first of all, totally disregarded the Wilmoth line of cases, and for that reason should be reversed.
What is your response? The Court of Appeals cites the Silver Spur edition of Clarkville Senior's apartment case and the restatement of contract for the proposition that the specific language in a provision controls over general language. What is your response to that?
Two responses. First, these are both very specific. It doesn't have them up, but both of them are very specific. You couldn't be more specific than saying the Architectural Control Committee has the right to waive any restrictions pertaining to roof types and the stucco type walls. There are numerous other restrictions that the Architectural Control Committee cannot waive, has not been given the power to waive. The other, Your Honor, is that opinion that was cited by the court here was a secondary rule of construction to be utilized only after using the Wilmoth line of questions. There is still an irreconcilable conflict, which there isn't in this case when you apply Wilmoth or 202.03.
Let me ask you another question. At the time your clients bought the home,
yes, sir.
The subdivision had been developed. There were no empty lots.
I think there might have been one empty lot.
And they bought with either the knowledge or the presumption that the roofs of composite type shingles will not be permitted, period. They knew that.
They knew that provision was in there.
And then before they started construction, before they put one shingle, they knew that a lawsuit was going to be ensued, and they said, we'll buy a lawsuit?
That's not necessarily true, Your Honor. They knew that their potential of being sued was there. I think anyone in today's society knows that no matter what you do, the potential of being sued is there, which is why they went to the extreme of contacting the Architecture Control Committee, and the site you were asking for in the record, Your Honor, is pages 321 through 322, of getting in January of 1993, prior to the summary judgment, written approval as set out in the restrictive covenants to allow them to use that timberline composition.
Let me ask you about those covenants real quick. Article 2, paragraph 1 does talk only in terms of a proposed home. Is that correct?
Your Honor, it does reference proposed home.
And you're asking us to read that out of the...
Not at all, Your Honor. I'm asking you to pick up the Webster's Dictionary, as this Court has said we use common language, and look at what the word proposed means. Proposed does not mean new. It means that, in this case, the house under consideration. This is the project I am proposing. This is what I am proposing we are going to do. And that is what proposed means. It was a total dereliction to say proposed means new. Because if you do that, then what you have done, and I think Justice Spector has pointed out, you have an anomaly in a subdivision where one homeowner can have a new roof, one can have, which is wood, one can have one that's composition, but across the street neighbor, house burns to the ground. What type of roof do they get to have? Do they get a composition roof or a wood roof? Because is that a new roof or is that an existing roof? And that's why there was such an anomaly in trying to make that ruling. That is not what at all these restrictive covenants say, Judge. And I believe that when you apply the Wilma line of cases, as well as 202-003, that is what you'll find.
But in point of fact, isn't that how it was construed? The Architectural Committee ceased meeting after the development of the division. No one went to them any longer for new roofs or anything else.
No one applied anymore. That doesn't mean they ceased to exist. They still existed as a body. There, no one was sending applications to them. The last time they'd received anything, they said, was sometime in the early 80s. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden...
Did that coincide with the time when new construction had ceased?
Fairly much so, Your Honor. That's exactly right.
Question. Yeah, let me ask you this, and that is, tell me why you disagree with the respondent that the September 3rd letters do not comply with the procedural requirements of what is required to be disclosed.
Your Honor, for two reasons. First of all, it says that you are to submit in your request plan specifications, the timberline type composition roof or equivalent thereof is a specification. Be that as it may, after the fact, they provided to the Architecture Control Committee, once asked, a mammoth amount of specifications, as in the record with the affidavit of Frank Richards, that he obtained all that before he gave the written approval. So they complied as far as the beginning. The Architecture Control Committee had the right to rely on that or ask for more. They subsequently asked for more, obtained more specifications, and thereupon gave the written approval to our clients to put the composition roof on.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That concludes today's arguments. Both of the foregoing clauses will be submitted on brief and oral arguments, and the Marshal will adjourn the
meeting. All rise.